The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Conor Gallagher joins me. Conor, well known to you, of course, Irish Times crime and security correspondent, to talk about the elections, the specific kind of aspect of the elections we want to talk about, Conor, because these so-called, and I say so-called because we might kind of define what we mean by far-right in a moment, but so-called far-right candidates, some of them no longer candidates, some of them actual councillors. So I want to get a sense of who they are, what they stand for, what their policies are. But let's start with who falls into that category, because everybody from kind of Niall Boylan rightwards, if we'll call it that way, gets described this way, and some of them maybe unfairly.
Yeah, it's a very imperfect term, you know, is sometimes applied to anyone to the right of Labour, you know. But if you take it to mean someone who goes beyond just calling for, you know, a reduction in immigration, or and take it to mean kind of people who want mass deportations, or, for example, a common theme, I think that serves a good definition, is if they're talking about plantations. You know, this is the buzzword. A lot of them use that, you know, the large numbers of asylum seekers coming in as part of some orchestrated plantation, which is kind of an Irishified version of the Great Replacement conspiracy theory, which is a major plank of the kind of the global far right. So that would be common to a lot of people. And then, as you said, you've got a whole other cohort of people who might have made immigration a key part of their campaign, but wouldn't, you know, be protesting outside direct provision centres or endorsing acts of violence, or wouldn't be targeting individual asylum seekers, rather they'd be going after the government. So yeah, it's kind of a tough one, and you know, it should be applied kind of maybe a bit carefully.
So who, using the term plantation and those other kind of markers as you described them, who has been elected in that cohort around the country?
Well, there's four people by my count in terms of the local elections who campaigned pretty much exclusively on immigration and have only come to the fore really as a result of immigration. Probably the most high profile of them would be Malachy Steenson. It's a very interesting character. He's been trying to get elected for years. Came from a very left-wing Republican tradition, was a Workers' Party member for many, many years, has previous association with paramilitaries, was convicted in the Special Criminal Court many years ago, but has now made immigration, particularly immigration in East Wall, which is where the first one of these protest movements kind of started 2 years ago about. So he got elected. He was one of the first to get elected. You've got Gavin Pepper then, Finglas Ballymun. He's another person who has been kind of travelling around Dublin and the country to an extent to anti-immigration protests, has a history of making very inflammatory statements on social media. The day of the Dublin riots, after the stabbing attack on Parnell Square, he was one of the people calling on people to meet at the Spire and come in. That preceded the riots. He later deleted that tweet. And he, in fact, just to clarify, he didn't call for riots. He called for people to come in. He was present at the protest outside the Dáil, the notorious one with the noose, back in September, I believe. He would have also been present at the protest at Sandwich Street, which later on the migrant tents were burnt down. He later said the Gardaí raided his house over that and questioned him over that. He hasn't been charged with any offence there. And then those two are independents, obviously. Then you've got the, I suppose the National Party candidate would fit most neatly into that definition of far right. This is Patrick Quinlan out in Palmerstown. He's the deputy leader of that party, which is going through a bit of a split at the minute. It has ostensibly two factions, one behind Justin Barrett and the other behind James Reynolds, both of whom ran for Europe and were unsuccessful. But, you know, Barrett, very extreme character, has, you know, endorsed Hitler, has started dressing in Nazi regalia. This is a party whose policy would include, according to Barrett, deporting Irish-born people who were not ethnically Irish. So that kind of level out there. We don't know you know, what Patrick Quinlan plans to do about those policies once on the council. And then you've got the Irish Freedom Party, Herman Kelly's party, set up in 2018 to campaign for Ireland to leave the EU, has very much shifted towards anti-immigration. And they returned their first councillor in Dublin as well, a guy called Glenn Clark.
Is there any commonality as to the constituencies that they were elected in? You mentioned, say, that Malachy Steenson, for example, that the constituency, the area he was elected in, is where we had seen these protests. Was that the same for those other candidates?
To an extent, but yeah, we can say probably that Pepper and Steenson probably got in because there has been asylum seeker accommodation open in those areas, particularly with Steenson and the ESB building in East Wall. The other two guys in Palmerstown and Blanchestown, while there has been immigration centres open near those areas, they haven't been real flashpoints. These people seem to have built their following, I suppose, on the doorsteps and through social media, but they were a surprise. I wasn't expecting, you know, if kind of you were looking at kind of extreme figures getting in, I wasn't expecting those two people to get in.
So, I mean, is the expectation, maybe this is a difficult question to answer at this point, but is the expectation this is kind of an anomaly born of this period of protest we've gone through, or are we at the start of a journey that lots of other European countries have been on for an awful lot longer?
That's the big question, and I'd probably only become clear after the general election to see if they can consolidate their gains. In many ways, they have really underperformed that kind of far-right anti-immigration movement. They had a lot of headwind. You know, immigration is, you know, it leads news bulletins every day. It's sometimes it seems all people are talking about is immigration. People in the country, in areas where direct visit centres have been set up, are often very, very angry. So there was a lot of anger to exploit there, and there's a lot of anger against government to exploit. And also, yeah, we've got this wave of in Europe of far-right people getting elected. Up to 25% of the parliament now might be far-right by some definitions. And they haven't capitalised on that. You know, Derek Bligh down in Cork, another very high-profile figure, failed to get elected either in the locals or it looks like in the Europeans, unless a miracle happens down there. None of the party leaders got elected. But what did happen was they got some very, very high polling numbers, especially when you combine them all together. And in some areas, they just missed out, and it was just down to poor vote management or running too many candidates of that stripe that caused them to split the vote. So what would be interesting to see is this a protest vote? Were people just, you know, protesting anyone but the government? You know, we saw some mad transfers there, as we were saying, Sir McHugh transferring to, the National Party leader transferring to Sir McHugh.
Yeah.
You know, so is that just a protest vote, or is there genuine support for these far-right parties?
I guess the other question that councils now would have to grapple with, and possibly maybe the Dáil, who knows, after a general election, is again what other legislatures and other countries have had to deal with, which is how do you deal with them when they're kind of inside the tent? Do you kind of try and maintain this wall and other them? Do you try and kind of eat their dinner, as arguably the Tory party across the water have tried to do, and all that has happened is that you keep kind of lurching further and further in their direction?
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting thing to see play out. You know, councils tend to work together. You don't see as much party politics at the council level as in the Leinster House, and that's partly because, you know, there's no cameras there to play up to, or there rarely are cameras or lots of journalists there to play up to. So will these people work with councillors? Will they work on local issues? They have basically zero impact they can have on immigration levels at the local council level, but are they going to work on things like, you know, planning permission, you know, traffic lights,
the zebra crossing down the road,
the bread and butter of the local councillor, you know,
white line at your junction that has been faded away.
Or are they going to use this as a platform just to kind of grow their brand and possibly get into Leinster House?
And listen, all questions that will only be answered, I guess, over time. Connor, thanks a million for joining us. Connor Gallagher is the Irish Times crime and security correspondent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG hybrid and electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.